Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
That's right. It's that time once again. I love that doorman. And welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry. Thrilled to have you here. And by the way, if this is your first time, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio and you see that pink rectangle that says follow, I wish you would, if you feel inclined, go ahead and click that and follow there or subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, because the more people follow, the more I can get cool sponsors like I have tonight to help you with the show and keep bringing cool guests like I've been having, like I got coming up, and like I've got tonight. Now, first, let me go over recently, too. Don't forget, we still want you to check out some of the books from guests that have been on recently. Greg Dybeck, managing editor of Elite Daily, his book, The Art of Living Other People's Lives. Hilarious book. People still talk about, still quote from the show he was on. Rudy Sarzo, bass player for Quiet Riot, White Snake, and Blizzard of Oz. His book is called Off the Rails, about his year with traveling with Ozzy, and when his friend, his good friend Randy Rhoads, who got him into that band, died in the airplane wreck. Rudy still plays, but he's also quite an active animal rights activist, so pretty good, him and his wife. Also, Chasm Salton was here not too long ago, and maybe back soon with Rudy. And I think he's getting ready to go back out on the road with Todd Rundgren, and I don't know if it's Utopia, but Todd Rundgren. You know, he plays with Todd, Utopia, Joan Jett. Who else? Meatloaf, Celine Dion, Blue Oyster Cult, who I think he and Rudy swap off in that band. But Chasm's has his newest work is called Bootleg, and get that CD. Plus, he's also selling some of his equipment online, too. So go to his website, chasmsultan.com, and you can find that. Also, coming up soon, I told you about a couple of these, and I've got a couple of more. You know, we got Kate Moore. Kate Moore is coming to talk about Radium Girls. The book is about a true story of women in America in the 20s and 30s who developed horrible diseases and bones because they were working at a factory where they painted a radium onto dials of watches and even dials on military equipment. And the people would tell them, oh, just dip your brush in your radium and in your tongue to make a nice point and then paint it on. And those gals went through years and years trying to get some kind of help for their health problems. Also, poet Rick McIntyre, Sasha Vallely, the rocker, is going to be here tomorrow night. She's British, come over here to America. Randy Ross, and I had Randy on about 2 years ago with a different show. Randy Ross is a hilarious man. He finally got this book of his published. It's called God Bless Cambodia. God Bless Cambodia, if you remember from meeting him here before, started from a blog he did where he was talking about being laid off his corporate job. First thing he does is get up, go to the bathroom mirror, look at it, and says, Klonopin, Vicodin, or Heineken, what does the unemployed person have for breakfast? And then he went on from there to take a severance, travel around the world. And so his stories, he's hilarious. So it's God Bless Cambodia, Randy Ross. I'm so excited. Also got some of the guys, the band The Babies, the 80s band The Babies, coming up too in May. But for now, tonight, I've had people call about this show before we even got on the air. Tonight's guest, you are going to love. This guy has brought me so much laughter. And in this world today, that's exactly what we need. Now, don't get mad when I tell you who wrote the book. I'm not being rude. This is the author's name. But the book is called Confrontational French. The author is Johnny Effing Lucas, and he is here to visit Madame Perry's salon. Johnny Effing Lucas, you just come on into Madame Perry's effing salon right now.
Hello, madam. Thanks for having me.
Well, hello, Johnny. How you doing?
I'm medicated and, you know, in touch with the world. I'm loving it.
I can dig it. I've made that scene, and that's good. I'm glad to know that you were prepared. I know it's your first time in Madame Perry's salon, so we are thrilled to have you here. And you might have heard me there say, yeah, there are people who were one person calling in, already got the book today, and people are really psyched about this book. Confrontational French, the name alone tells you it's going to be
a bitch. These people who are calling, are they debt collectors? Because it's I don't owe them anything.
No. And you know, I have some regular callers that are there. Every caller here is fun and interesting, and I think you'll like this bunch. But also, like, Confrontational French has a tagline that is, and if let me get the right. Starts off with two guys or two friends?
Right, two friends, one destination, no clue. The whole plot synopsis.
And it just tells it. And so it's what do you call it? It says here in your press people's material, a madcap tale of friendship, love, and roadkill cuisine. It's true.
That pretty much covers it.
and you were, and I think I completely forgot that description the first time the guys were serving at roadkill cuisine. So, folks, this book delivers. Trust me, it delivers. So how would you describe, and we're going to open up the phones. If you want to talk to Johnny Lucas, call in. The number is 646-716-9922, and it's toll-free in the continental U.S. And so just before we open the phones, Johnny, can you just give us just a little description of what this book is about. What is this? Who are these half-wit con men, Andrew and Bruce?
Right. So this is kind of like this is what they call a picaresque tale, I guess. Right. Which is let's see. Oh, I had this here. Yeah. According to the esteemed scholar Wikipedia, a picaresque novel is prose fiction which depicts the adventures of a roguish hero or heroine of low social class who lives by his or her wits in a corrupt society. So I thought, you know, that seems kind of appropriate today. I think almost everybody is a rogue trying to live by their wits in this corrupt society. But basically, Andrew and Bruce are childhood friends who met due to a horrific, if somewhat hilarious, tragedy. And then Andrew moved in with Bruce.
Sorry, that's my engineer. They just quit. Go ahead.
What is that?
Andrew and Bruce.
Yeah. What was that strange noise? Are the zombies here? Is it happening? It's happening, isn't it? The zombie apocalypse is now.
No, but they're on the tour. Okay. Andrew and Bruce met in childhood.
Right. So they're two childhood friends, and Andrew's parents died, and he was forced to live with Bruce. So right there, you know it's a comedy if, you know, there's death, right? Chapter one. Live together, and they kind of end up having to sort of find their way through the world as a couple of unintelligent but, you know, somewhat resourceful young men. And, you know, scams and whatnot for a few decades. And then they run into Charlotte. And she's a piece of work of her own.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte's great. Well, listen, if you don't mind, Johnny, we've already got callers coming in. And welcome to Madame Perry's salon. Hello? Welcome to Madame Perry's salon. Come on in and introduce yourself to Johnny Effing Lucas.
Who are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi, Johnny.
Hello.
My name is, I'm Duffy Odom. And I'm really stuck on your book. I haven't gotten through chapter yet, but some of the chapters are very interesting to me, symbolically, because I get stuck in symbols sometimes, and they seem to haunt me, follow me around for a while. One is a rabbit.
Okay.
You have a chapter about the bunny rabbit. And the other
yes.
is a squirrel. I wrote a story myself that's kind of picaresque, but it's but this guy is it's not quite right. And he has an alter ego that is a squirrel. And you also have a chapter called Milking the Squirrel.
Oh, that's
yes.
right.
Which sounds fascinating to me. And
well, it,
I
it
love,
is. It's a little known
I
recipe
the,
for cooking from squirrel milk. So just one of the many fascinating little bits of trivia you find in the book.
Oh, wonderful. I like a book with recipes. And I love the way you write. It's just fascinating. I'm sure I'm going to spin right through it. It's so far you can tell Andrew and Bruce are something's going to happen there. Even though they're just kids, they you know, they have that because of the death of his parents. You feel like they're going to bond in a way that doesn't, you know, that separates them from their parents and their parents' generation. And I can actually imagine them going off and doing something very strange. And I'm sure it is. But I know I'm going to enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you picked it up. And there are rabbits and squirrels and all kinds of God's fair creatures abused and used for food.
Oh, good.
And,
oh, good.
And
oh,
Duffy,
they have to forage, I see.
Oh,
yes?
Yeah. Duffy, I think you brought a friend of yours in here with you. She must have been parking the car. I believe it is Sandra Beckham. Sandra, come on into Madame Perry Salon. Scoot on down. Johnny, are you comfortable? Did you find a nice cushion to sit on here in the genie bottle?
Oh, always.
Good,
oh, yeah.
Good, good.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Beanbag.
All right,
can
come
you
on
hear
in,
me?
Sandra.
Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Funny you should mention squirrels. Squirrels are my species.
Yeah, I think Sandy is part squirrel, as a matter of fact. Or is a reincarnated squirrel, or is...
Are you on Sandy? Are you on the program SpongeBob SquarePants?
No.
No.
One of my favorite squirrels of all time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is a good squirrel.
I'm not literally a squirrel, but it is my totem animal.
I see.
Like,
okay.
But I do think I know which character you're talking about. Yeah, the squirrel. A very sassy squirrel. Squirrels are
absolutely
very sassy. Sassy.
Squirrels are quite, they always make them sassy because I think squirrels are sassy. But
so you can imagine the difficulty it would require to milk one because they're not really
yeah.
going to put up with that.
Oh, no. You don't go there. That would be dangerous.
Yeah.
I think when I was
can't wait to get there to that chapter. We all it sounds like we're all waiting to figure out how many.
Well, I gotta tell you, when you're reading the book and Andrew because they're going to go. These two guys, okay, Andrew and Bruce, the two friends, they're going to go to their destination is to make it to Paris, and they're driving across country. And what city estate did they start from, Johnny? Because and they were driving across country. It seemed like they were somewhere cold, like in New England, or.
Yes, they start out outside of Pittsburgh. I lived in Pittsburgh for a year when I was a child, and it was so deathly cold. And I thought when I was making this book that they're going to end up here out in California. I wanted them to be the other end of the country and just somewhere where it's just really, really cold. So they're there in Pittsburgh at the very beginning, and they come all the way across the country, and yeah, just leave a wake of destruction and confusion.
because they're going, but they've got this destination somehow, because it starts off when they're, you know, when Andrew's father, they get the word that his parents have died in a plane crash, and Bruce's father says, well, you can stay here and live with us. Of course, you'll have to live in the van in the driveway, but you can still stay. So you know right then, you know, but the boys will stay tight.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to Paris, and Bruce is a poet, and Andrew, chef, but I got to tell you though, when I started reading about all the things that he would cook every day, with, you know, the roadkill and milking a squirrel and scraping up some candy corn he found to make a dessert, you know what that sounded like to me, Johnny? It may still be on, but I remember there was some cooking show where they would just give people stuff in a basket and they had to make something, and it might be something okay, you got duck liver and some grits and some butterscotch candy or something. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Wow.
But they wouldn't know until they got
the
basket.
Like a cooking challenge, right? And they would all have to make dessert or something out of, like, just horrific ingredients or stuff that just didn't go together. None of it was a health hazard. Like, these guys are eating health hazards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
that's
a dangerous situation. But it builds fortitude. All young people should eat roadkill, I believe. Strong believer. Mm-hmm. Builds character. Mm-hmm. And thins the herd.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't hurt. It hasn't hurt Honey Boo Boo and her family.
Do they resort to picolism? or do they eat pica?
The pica, that's a small varmint, is it not?
No, there is the American pica that's a rabbit that lives in way out west, 6,000 feet up in the mountains. But pica is also a non-edible things that people eat. People who have this condition, whatever it is, will eat paper or dirt or
I've heard that, like compulsively eating things that aren't food.
That aren't food. It's and the non-food is called pica. We were a comedy group, and we did a it was sort of a religious magician whose religion was picolism, and he wanted everybody to be a picolite and eat things.
Are you sure this isn't like some leftover from college flashback or something?
This is actually Sandy, do you remember that? Do you remember that? It was me and Pam when we were doing Toads on Toast.
I never saw that. That was before I met you, I believe.
Well, I think it was, or it could have been after you left. But anyway, it was me and Pam because we used to practice it at Potsy's when I lived there. But anyway, that's what it was. I was a magician that was preaching to the picolites. And that's where I did my research on Tycho, was finding out all this stuff. And you're talking about how they eat unhealthy things. Made me wonder if they were eating non-edible things.
I don't think it's anything like.
No, it's all very delicious.
It's just things that.
It's all delicious, delicious food. I highly recommend it.
Oh, it is.
In fact, I'm thinking about making a cookbook that's all recipes from the book.
Oh,
so that people
great.
Will know
how
to make
wonderful.
A creme brulee from squirrel milk and that kind of thing.
Johnny, you're an effing genius. Mm. That would be good. A companion to the book.
Companion.
That would be great for Christmas sets. So, yeah, because he comes up with things like... help me with this. This is what he's talking about, you know, Duffy and Sandra. He's got, like, they're in one area, and they're very resourceful because they're living by their wits and by their cons and don't have a lot of money to blow. But it's okay because Andrew is a chef. And so they have one, what is it? He has some, Bruce finds the snails, I believe, and Andrew speed cures him.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah,
so,
that's not recommended. That's you really don't want to do that. But they do it.
But he has they got a and then he uses the propane and does the that's when he uses the propane lighter to to speed cure. You guys just
it's weird, you know, I wrote this originally. This was a screenplay and for a feature film, and I made the feature film, and we actually had the camper, and we set the pan on fire in the camper, and it was quite an exciting cinematic moment as we all jumped screaming out of the van.
where is this film?
Well, this film is currently residing in the mothballs of one of my hard drives, and I'm actually going to recut it into a web series start putting up probably 3 to 5 minute episodes. So that's kind of the next thing I want to do. Yeah, it should be fun.
Idea.
I have great actors, a great crew, cast. Everybody was just awesome. But, you know, I realized once I cut it all together that I didn't quite have exactly the story I wanted, and... when I returned to it later, I was like, I should write this backstory. And I kind of started doing more scenes, and then it kind of morphed into this reverse adaptation novel from a movie. So the book has a lot of scenes that aren't in the film, but almost everything in the film is also in the book.
In the book.
It's a very, very weird situation.
Where did you shoot it?
I shot the movie here in San Francisco, and pretty much in all locations that, like, just did not look like San Francisco, you know, your typical glorious San Francisco shots, you know, back alleys and just weird old factories and just strange places where these guys could kind of hide out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, let me give a shout-out to our friend, author and poet David Hurley. Hey, David Hurley, because he just sent a message to say that he's listening with an exclamation mark. So I'll be looking out for a question from you, David, anytime. And thanks for listening here with us. And so now how did it come to be that he was going to Paris and learning French instead of some other language?
You know, I don't know. I think early on, I think at the time I was reading like some Voltaire and stuff like that. And I was really like, you know, there's a great story. I wonder how great it must be. Like if you're reading these things in their original language and everything, you know, I know absolutely, as you can tell from reading the book, absolutely nothing about French, the culture, the language, and the book is really 200 pages of me sort of floundering around and drowning in my, lack of knowledge of that entire culture and language. So I thought, okay, this will be really fun. I'll have the guy. And at that point I was like, all right, well, the one guy's a poet. And I'm like, oh, well, his friend needs to be a cook. but a horrible cook. And then at that point, I was like, okay, well, road trip, and they're cooking roadkill. And it all kind of fell together from there.
So, yeah, because you do it so well with the so they're learning their French on their way and practicing it wherever they can with their expressions, like say magnifique is see my new feet. Of course, say
right.
Magnifique, they're doing their mon cherie, mon cherie, and all this. So then, and the thing is, though, I've got to warn you, once you get so far into the book, you start thinking of it like that. You don't think of it like, oh, those silly guys, or, you know, why don't they just bother us? You start, in your mind, you start going, oh, mon cherie, or something. So you draw us in. That's what I'm trying to say. You draw us into their world and their language. And,
oh, thank you. You know, I had a lot of, like, weird things that I wanted to say, and so I know people who actually do speak French, and I had them kind of translate them. So then I would look at that translation and go, like, phonetically, how would a couple of guys who just really don't understand the language at all but are learning it from this cassette tape that was made on an airplane by one of their fathers, like, how are they going to learn this language? And so they basically have to learn it by onomatopoeia, and they just kind of come up with these words that are similar enough in pronunciation, absolutely no purpose in any language whatsoever.
Okay. And before I give you more away, we got one more person in here. Welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. This is Madame Perry. You're on here with Johnny Effing Lucas and the whole gang.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Who is it?
Yes, I can. My name is Sally.
Hey, Sally.
And I'm calling because I'm really curious to know where Johnny gets his inspiration from.
Johnny, can I stop you just one moment to gather up your answer? Because I've got two sponsors I got to speak to. And Sally, thank you for your pick.
I'm sorry, that is you. Am I getting put on hold?
No, Sally.
No.
Sally, Madame Perry's Salon, once your eyes adjust to the light, you're inside of, right
okay,
now, you're
I'll,
inside
all right,
of a lovely.
I'll hold.
Okay, you're inside of a genie bottle right now with us.
It's just a commercial break.
Yeah, I'm just going to read it to you right now. We're all here together. So,
mm-hmm.
So don't cuss out your kids or anything while I'm doing this. I'm not going to mute you all. Your mics are hot. So,
first of all,
I want to tell you, this was a sponsor last week, too. AirTicketsForUSA.com. Let me tell you why you want to know about them.
Did you fix the portal?
Pardon me? Okay, I'm going to mute your mic, Sally, but everybody else just, you're on show business. You know what to do. But, Sally, don't go away. All right, AirTicketsForUSA.com lets you book domestic U.S. flights at ridiculously low prices, saving a minimum of 30% off the regular airline prices. From April until June, they're running a spring sweepstakes with a free flight at the main price. The winner will have the option to choose a free flight worth up to $500 on any domestic destination. So what are you going to do is, and I've got the link right here on my page for Blog Talk Radio, and I'm adding it into my other social media as well. So you just go here to Air Tickets for USA, or just type in airticketsforusa.com in your browser and subscribe to the newsletter. Then wait for the winner to be announced somewhere during the first week of June. So you can book your U.S. flights via airticketsforusa.com. And save big. Oh, Madame Perry's people love to travel. And the other one, and you'll see this on here too, the other sponsor tonight we love is kind of two in one. It's Slug Nuts Podcast. And these are two guys that are hilarious. They I've put here the link to their Slug Nuts Podcast on iTunes so you can subscribe to it there, just as you can Madame Perry's Salon. But they're very funny, and they believe in these uncertain, emotional, anxiety-ridden political times, they want you to have a place you can go and sort of let down your hair and loosen up and laugh it up. Have a few laughs. And so Slugnuts Podcast, these guys are a riot. And also they have a cartoon. It's called the End Times Cartoon. Also, it's very political, so know that before you get in there. The End Times Cartoon and Slugnuts Podcast. And I've got the links to them right here on the page. Now that I've thanked my wonderful sponsors, now we're going to get in here and see Sally was asking Johnny Effing Lucas about his inspiration.
Ah, right.
Take it away, Johnny.
Inspiration.
Oh, sorry. So I wanted a pineapple pizza and a large salad.
Sally, I think you called another. I think you're on hold with somebody else.
Oh,
are you?
I'm sorry,
are you putting us on hold?
Oh God, sorry. I thought I was sorry. I thought this. I'm sorry. I was on hold. Sorry. I'm sorry. This is a podcast.
Yes. Your question was about the inspiration.
So yes, correct.
All right. All right. Well, let's see. Like most great authors, I guess I have a collection of hammers and wrenches and other hand tools, sharp implements, and various whiskeys, chiefly bourbon and rye. And I typically will, for say the first chapter, have a nice strong rye, and then select one of the implements and, you know, maybe hit myself in the foot, maybe a knee shot, something just to kind of wake myself up. And then I'm ready and I'm in the story. And I think you can feel that. I think when you read this, you can feel that.
I definitely felt that. Yes. It was, yes, like a big hammer to the big toe.
Right. Right. Good.
But very well done. It didn't hurt quite as much.
Yeah. That's quite an interesting answer. I've never heard a description of inspiration like that before. Anybody? Sally, are you a writer?
I'm not. I just am an avid reader.
Have you read Confrontational French?
I have, yes.
Oh, okay. And did you like it?
I did. I thought it actually was very, in all seriousness, I thought it was actually really great. I loved the characters and their play on their relationship and how they really believed that they were onto something. And in all honesty, they were a little bit fumbling around in their lives. And I think some of the opening dialogue of that, I think, was just, of the book itself was it was just actually quite charming.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I agree with Sally. There was a sincerity, even though these guys are kind of, like I said, they're half-wit con men and all this stuff, but there was a goal, and I think deep within them there was a sincerity about what they're
mm-hmm.
doing and how they, you know, am I reading it right, Johnny? Because they seem to be very devoted to each other. Now, they might con the rest of the world, but they are very devoted to each other and making both their, you know, both guys, they want their dream and their best friend's dream to come true.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely like a, you know, the old honor among thieves kind of situation where, you know, you can betray anyone else in the world, but, you know, with your fellow criminals, there's a certain amount of respect. You eat each other's food, you listen to each other's poetry, and you do the crimes.
Yeah, and you milk squirrels together. That's pretty, that's good male bonding right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to call my next book Liquiditas.
I don't even know where that name came from, but it just sounded so biblical to me. I don't know.
It does. And what's the funny is when I'm reading this book, and I've been traveling lately, so I've been sort of reading and reading, and then I just bust out laughing. And my husband and I both love to read, but I'll just bust out laughing, and he'll go, okay, what? What? So I'll stop. Okay. I got to go. Two guys, you know. Then, so later on, I start laughing. It goes, okay, what are they doing now? I start telling what I read. I said, why don't you read the book? Well, why? You've already told me about it. But I haven't told you everything. But But anything that makes a grown-up just guffaw out loud in a restaurant, you know, in the car, wherever you are, then...
Thanks. You know, it's interesting when I was looking at kind of what I was going to do for my next project, right, when I kind of started on this was... You know, it was just like the political scene here was just getting so dire. And I was just like, I need to work on something that is just like fun, that makes me laugh, and that, you know, doesn't get bogged too down in message, that, but that it's just about kind of these weird, quirky human reactions and foibles. And just I needed something that was a little bit escapist, you know, like, but the whole political scene here just made me nuts. And so I really wanted to make something. It's just kind of fun to read.
Yeah, well, and I know you succeeded. And you know what? And actually, I was thinking to say that the time is right for this. And, you know, surely, I guess, you know, Sally's with me. Duffy, oh, and by the way, I had a message. Sasha Vallely is listening to. Hey, Sasha. See, Duffy and Sandy, didn't you feel like God knows we need a little something just to enjoy right now?
I think it's a great time to escape, and I think everybody should get on that wagon and just forget about it all, and you know.
I think that escapism is nice. I think it also is important that we are make sure that we do kind of stay cognizant of what's happening. While it is nice to have
breaks, we have to be aware.
Mental breaks to have what's happening, but to also make sure that we pay attention to what's going on and we don't just kind of forget about it. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's super important to have that.
And it gives us, finding those things that are the breaks give us the kind of energy to go on. And that was definitely a part of this for me, is just like getting myself out of that mental funk, you know, breaking that chain of like despondency and just despair. I mean, you know, November 9th, I was just in a funk and I just needed to get out.
Hey, this is, if you listen now, this is, if you just tuned in, this is Madam Perry Salon. I'm your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry. If you want to, we're talking to Johnny Effing Lucas about his new book, Confrontational French. And if you want to call in and talk with Johnny and join us here in the Genie Bottle, just dial 646-716-9922, toll free. And somebody new just came into the beaded curtain. Hi, welcome to Madam Perry Salon.
Hey, hi. I call from Chicago. I travel with a circus, and I think it's very interesting story, that book. I'm going to have to look into it.
Oh, it
when
is.
When I'm traveling, I'm always like, I'm always with other roommates from all over the world, some acrobats right now, stilters, and we always have to cook with like stuff that you can't find where we're here. You know, like right now we're trying to make a salad that's Russian salad, but there's no ingredients that, you know, we can find here. So do you have a part in your book that kind of helps traveling without traveling or traveling food for you?
We were talking about that. And what is your name, please?
Simon.
Dime, okay. Johnny, well, you know what? Before you called, we were talking about Johnny had mentioned that he was thinking about making a companion cookbook to go with this. But, Johnny, take it away there.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of vegetable use in the book, and I think a salad recipe could definitely help. I think there was a part in it where the boys discussed why they don't eat vegetables, and I think a part of it was because Bruce felt like it was a little unethical and that plants could kind of scream. I mean, the animals can scream or run away from you or claw, fight back, you know, like a squirrel might if you were trying to milk it. But the plants really had no option. They just kind of sat there and they were just grabbed.
Do you have experience
with milking a squirrel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no, but I've tried to milk a mare before to feed its foal that wouldn't drink, and that's just as dangerous as a squirrel. I think squirrels and horses are very similar in their way of reacting and kind of being a flight prey animal. It can definitely get dangerous.
Dangerous.
Right.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this, Simon, in your circus, do you have horses? Do you have squirrels?
No, but there's always squirrels everywhere we go. It's like they follow the horses or something. I think that horses and squirrels probably use each other as a form of communication. They must be true. So they're not
a circus symbiosis.
Yeah, I guess so.
Squirrels are pretty much everywhere, too. Yeah.
I don't think they would live in a certain part of the world.
Yeah, maybe not. But I don't know. I thought they.
I mean,
I
we know they can live in
the universe. Yeah.
So
what?
So let's see. So Diamond, that was talking. Diamond, have you read the book?
No, I have to. I'm going to get right on that someday.
Okay, mm-hmm. Confrontational French. Because it's funny because of how they make, you know, Andrew's going to be a chef, and he puts on a chef hat, and he makes these dishes. It's like one of those competition shows, you know, on the Cooking Channel, and where they just take what they've got, whatever they hit. You know, they don't waste anything. They don't believe in waste, do they, Johnny? And
no.
I had a TV show back in the 90s, and I would have musicians on, and I had a little thing called a musician cooking segment, because I said, you know, there's no middle class. You're either dirt poor or you're successful and can tear up the hotel room. So what do musicians, how do they make food on the way? And people would do little things like, well, you know, you're out, you're on the road, you're touring, and then your van breaks down. And so because the radiator overheated, so while you're waiting for help, you're hungry, get a pot, some water, put it on your radiator while it's still hot, put in some ramen noodles. When they explode, it's done. You eat. Then by the time your rescue comes, they had a lot of things like that. So so that's why I'm saying, you know, the companion cookbook, even done, you know, slightly in jest, I can see having a contest. Okay, I'm a publicist, so I can see having a contest for that, Johnny. People could send in what they would think. Yeah.
Well,
I think it'd be awesome.
We take food for granted, you know, especially in this country where there's so much food and so much overeating. Even people that don't have any money have ways of getting things to eat. And we really don't think about what would we do if we were in a place, a strange place, and had to find whatever is available. It takes a certain kind of imagination and ingenuity to be able to do that. I think they are to be admired for that.
Yeah.
And
another fun thing, I got to mention two more favorite parts of my book of the book for me, and Diamond, if this doesn't sell you on it, I don't know what will. One of the things is that even though these guys are making their food from roadkill, when they go to try to, you know, fake a epilepsy attack or something in an outdoor cafe so they can steal food or whatever, even if they grab some French toast from a nice place, they still kind of look down their nose at it, you know, like, oh, how could be in this cup. The ghost gaudy large French toast, you know. And the other thing, though, one of the things that made me laugh, totally unrelated to the thing about food, Johnny, but it's the they're listening to. I was trying to find the comment again. Listen to somebody singing or a song, and you said, and you put this so beautifully. They listened to a country song about a guy whose woman left him and took his truck and his dog and his brand new prescription for OxyContin. That's a heartbreaking song.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I think we've all been there, you know.
That's country all over. I mean, you're sounding like you're from down here when you talk about.
That's hillbilly heroin.
Every one of those things.
Yeah. Well, so if you're listening, we're talking to Johnny Effing Lucas. He's the author of Confrontational French, and it's going to be an indie movie out for us to be able to see very soon. I don't know how
That's
long, or it's going to be a web show, a web TV
Let's
show.
Let's hope.
It's
going to be a web series.
Hmm?
Yeah, it's going to be a web series. It's once I've drank enough and hit myself with enough hammers, it will be an awesome web series.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'll probably put a link. I'll probably put links on my blog at godsmiddlefinger.com. So once I finally get it together, that's where it'll be.
I followed the link there, and I couldn't get there. It said there was an error. I don't know if the link
error.
Is the error.
I
don't know if it's
yeah.
rural jerk.
I don't know if it was a
rural,
it might have been a bad
jerk.
Link.
I will look into that, and
it
could be those
it might have been
squirrels.
A bad link. Yeah.
Those
mm-hmm.
those pesky squirrels get at the internet every once in a while. I don't know what they have against me.
Oh yeah.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
I have a problem with roaches.
Well, listen.
I have a problem with snails. I have a problem with snails.
We wish you the best of luck and fabulous sales with Confrontational French. It's a great
Thank
book.
Thank you very much.
And I am thrilled by
it. Read it. It's a great book. Everybody should read it.
I ordered
and
it for my
Go to Amazon. Go to Amazon.
I got
you
it.
Buy
it
from,
are you on the road right now, Johnny? Can people see you soon? Or
am I
can they just look on your
I can see you.
No?
I can see you. Oh, my God. I can see you.
Is this thing on? Hello?
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 I am not currently on tour except in my mind and around my liquor cabinet. So if you're anywhere near there, I'll do a reading for you. It'll be awesome.
All right.
Great.
Well, we hope so. And please let us know. Please come back when you have let us know when you've got the web series out. We would love to talk to you again. We hope to come back to Madame Perry's Salon. And so glad that you came tonight.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, come back
and don't
after
forget,
I've
folks.
Finished reading it in a couple of days.
And go check
and
it out.
And thanks, everybody,
with,
for calling in.
Sure.
It's so nice to talk to you, Johnny.
Johnny, people were ready for you before the show even started. But don't forget, folks,
really?
Also go to airticketsforusa.com.
Bob, I told you not to shave the poodle.
What is going
go
on
to airticketsforusa.com to get enter a contest for free airline ticket. Also, Slug Nuts Podcast and End Times Cartoon. Definitely goes to Johnny Effing Lucas. Get the book Confrontational French at your favorite bookseller. And I love you all, and I hope you'll come back soon, Johnny. We think you are perfect.
Goodbye, Luda. Bye.